You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. Excuse my deep voice today. I've been battling a cold. Maybe some of you have had the COVID. I had to go through that for the first time, and boy, that wasn't a pleasant experience, I must say. But now I've got a cold, and what can we do? We make the best of it anyways. And somebody said to me, oh, once you have COVID, you don't have to worry about it because then you build up your immunity and you'll be better. Okay. Thank you. I'm hoping for that and praying for that, that that will be the case. Brothers and sisters, let's begin with a St. Michael the Archangel prayer, because today we're going to be talking about saints who did battle with demons. And I wanted to get into that with you today as we are talking about angels and the supernatural. So, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander throughout the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, God has chosen certain holy men and women to go to the front lines of spiritual warfare. And while most of us will only experience ordinary temptations, these holy warriors encountered the devil head on. Their sufferings served not only to purify their souls and develop their own virtues, but to atone and intercede for poor sinners. Have faith, our Lord told us repeatedly in the Gospels, do not be afraid. But he never promised us that following him would be easy or without danger. This is your hour, Jesus said to the Pharisees the night before his crucifixion. And in reference to the devil, he continued, the time for the power of darkness. And that is found in Luke chapter 22, verse 53. In the book of Acts, the apostles were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were miraculously rescued, but not in order to retreat to the safety of their homes. The angel freed them from prison, but not from danger. On the contrary, he sent them out to face danger by preaching openly. This reminds us that part of the angel's mission is to strengthen our commitment to God as well as our heart and mind so that we might undertake these tasks for the glory of God in keeping with our vocation. Most of us are not meant to encounter the devil personally. Instead, God calls us to fight for him amidst our vocations within the world by conquering the daily temptations that the enemy sends our way. But some saints are called to confront the forces of hell in a particular way. These spiritual soldiers offered their lives to Christ, right? Entering the fray in order to win back souls from Satan's grasp. Today, we're going to focus on three of these spiritual warriors and glimpse their encounters with the demonic. And we can draw lessons of hope from each saintly example, as well as ponder the unique workings of divine providence. We're going to start with Saint Padre Pio, right? Saint Padre Pio, the son of Italian peasant farmers, practiced a life of penance, even in childhood, and entered a Capuchin friary at age 19. Known for his many spiritual gifts, and some of you might know them, probably quite a few would know this, his bilocation, that he could be in two places at the same time, levitation, physical healings. And Pio is considered to be one of the great visionaries and mystics of the church. His intercession has led to numerous miracles, both in his lifetime and since his death. Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio, is the first known priest to have received the stigmata. He was also harassed and attacked by Satan throughout his life. His brothers in the monastery and even residents living close by could sometimes hear the sounds of conflict as the demons beat him. Satan, with his malignant wiles, never tires of waging war on me, Padre Pio said once. But from God alone, through Jesus Christ, I hope for the grace to obtain the victory continually and never to be defeated. Even while he was suffering from the malice of evil spirits, there were gentle heavenly consolations. And after one demonic attack, Pio could hear the guardian angel singing hymns to the divine majesty in his angelic voice. Even the Blessed Mother consoled him. And that is found by Bernard Ruffin in Padre Pio, The True Story. Excuse me. Because of Padre Pio's intercession, the possessed girl... Well, maybe I should go back and do that little part for you. So let me just read you that little portion. One night after Padre Pio had been praying for a girl who was possessed, Padre Eusebio heard a crash and, entering Pio's room, found the old man on the floor in a pool of blood. His face was swollen and blood was pouring from his nose and from a deep cut above his eyebrows. There were no signs of forced entry, and nothing in the room was broken or disturbed. However, a pillow that was usually in Pio's armchair was neatly tucked beneath the injured man's bleeding head. Pio asked who had placed the pillow under his head. Weakly, Pio replied, "The Madonna." So Pio was asked that question, and he replied, "The Madonna." And so because of this intercession, the possessed girl whom he was praying for was eventually released from the power of the demons, and many other souls were rescued from eternal damnation as well. Now that Pio is in heaven, his suffering at the hands of demons is over, and he is an even more powerful intercessor for those of us on earth. Okay, that's St. Padre Pio. Second, St. John Vianney, when the devil doubles down, a holy victory is near. St. John Vianney was a parish priest, and in the small town of Ars, France, he ministered to all his people after the physical and spiritual carnage of the French Revolution. Men and women had become indifferent to and ignorant of the faith, and Vianney performed great penances for them and received many graces for their conversion. For 35 years, evil spirits tormented him, angry that he had won so many souls for Christ. Right? "The demon is very cunning," said St. John Vianney, "but he is not strong. Making a sign of the cross soon puts him to flight. The harassment was especially bad at night. The demons made an obnoxious variety of sounds and disturbances to prevent him from getting rest. They mocked him and called him derogatory names. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, was just the beginning. Okay, demons followed him to other places, on the road, in his lodgings, even once in a confessional. He was lifted up in the air. He was pulled around in his bed. The demons shrieked and moaned under his bed. And once they even set his bed on fire. One night, after an especially violent assault, John rose from bed to answer the doorbell, and there he found a man who had traveled some miles to make his confession. Actually, this was not an unusual occurrence. Often after the worst nights, the priest found at his door in the morning several pilgrims who had made long journeys to have him hear their confessions. Okay, so as we can see the holiness of Vianney's life, which was a powerful instrument for saving souls, made the devil frantic. He went to great lengths to discourage the pious activity of this holy priest. Such demonic efforts intensified whenever a soul was on the point of returning to Christ and his sacraments, which shows us how much we ought to cling to the church and her channels of grace. When we are concerned for our souls or for the souls of our loved ones, we should seek the intercession of St. John Vianney. He is eager, dear brothers and sisters, to assist us. And finally, St. Catherine of Siena, who was from Siena, Italy, the 24th of 25 children. Oh my gosh. Okay, kind of wrap your head around that one. 24th of 25 children born to a wealthy wool dyer. Okay, dyeing wool, okay, colors. And his wife, she lived a life of virtue, extreme penance, and total consecration to God. Wow. Becoming a Dominican tertiary at the age of 16, Catherine of Siena, had regular mystical visits from Jesus, Mary, and the saints throughout her life. She was especially devoted to working for the unity and spiritual health of the church, and she was an important political figure in her day, often entering into negotiations between warring rulers through personal visits and dictated letters. Her practical wisdom and profound spiritual insight was widely sought, both inside and outside the church. Fearing Catherine's holy life, demons began to afflict her. They screamed at her, attempted to defile her imagination with disturbing images, and tried to discourage her from her penances. Brothers and sisters, how many times that you pray the rosary or you're sitting in church, you know, you've come with a sense of reverence, of humbleness, of holiness, of piety, coming into the house of God, right? And you're sitting there and Father is giving a wonderful homily, and all of a sudden your mind goes into something really negative or really disturbing. And you think, oh my gosh, why am I thinking that? What brought that on? It's not you, brothers and sisters. Because we are striving towards holiness, because we want to be closer to Jesus, because we want to tell and have our Blessed Mother intercede for us, because we know Blessed Mother will tell Jesus everything, right? Because Blessed Mother and Jesus are one and the same. We need to go through her to intercede for us, to whisper into Jesus' ear our life, our concerns, our worries, our joys, our questions, our gratitude, everything. And sometimes, because we are striving for that, brothers and sisters, we take the Eucharist, we participate in that, we pray to the saints, to our favorite saint, we go to confession, we do penance, we might fast. Brothers and sisters, that's why even us, you and me, are attacked. That comes from the evil one. Those images, those negative thoughts, those doubts, those worries, all the opposite of good comes from the evil one. Doesn't come from Jesus. Doesn't come from beautiful Blessed Mother. No, it comes from the evil one. So imagine someone like Catherine of Siena at age 16 wanting to follow into holiness as a young 16-year-old, and probably a lot sooner than that, and being tormented, right? So Catherine, would you believe the demons even threw her off her donkey when she was traveling and pushed and pulled her about? And whereupon, what did Catherine do? She didn't get scared. She just laughed because she knew where that was coming from. She knew where it was coming from. Catherine became so accustomed to the devil's assaults that she gave him a nickname. She called him Pickpocket because he tried to snatch souls. Blessed Raymond tells us how the old serpent would sometimes become so furious over the harvest of souls she was reaping for God that he would push her into the fire with many of her friends watching. They would scream and weep trying to get her out of the flames. But Catherine would get up smiling without any burn marks on her skin or clothing. "Don't be frightened," she told him, "of the old pickpocket." Imagine what faith, what trust in God. We have much to gain and much to learn and much to draw on, brothers and sisters. We don't have to be these weakly people. We don't have to be weak on this earth. Catherine's holy mirth was a humiliation and rebuttal to the demons. Her suffering was real. The demons caused her true pain, but she feared only to grieve our Lord by sin. She did not fear the demons and their attacks. To the end of her life, they harassed and attempted to kill her, but Christ showed her that her sufferings were as effective as the blood shed by the martyrs. Saint Catherine's intercession brings about miracles of grace today for those who seek it. So, my friends, Saint Padre Pio, St. John Vianney, St. Catherine of Siena are only three of the many saints, and I didn't go through a lot, did I? I only spent three, who faced and overcame the demons through the power of God's grace. There are other well-known saints who have done the same, and you could probably tell me. St. Anthony of the Desert, St. Benedict, St. Dominic, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Martin de Porres, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and more. Each of these holy warriors are eager to help us. When we're afraid, when we're anxious, and when we're wondering if the devil is making inroads, right? If he's succeeding, if we're thinking that he must be getting to us in our spiritual lives or our family, these saints are eager to intercede for you and I, my friends, and to join us as we seek to live in a way that glorifies God. So let us ask them for their help so that we too can fight against the enemies of God in our own lives through our duties, through our vocations, and through our prayers. All right? So now I'm going to, if time allows, I will begin with the angelic battles against evil. And so I wanted you to know that, excuse me, the saints weren't the only ones battling demons, but the angels as well. So let's begin looking at the warrior angels in battle, okay? Right? So we've learned that the holy angels make war against demons through their virtue and power, right? We know. Angels aren't clashing shields and swinging swords in the manner of earthly combat that we might be thinking, oh, that's what they're using. I mean, when we think of combat, we think of a battle, right? That's what comes to our mind, right? But we often use physical images of battle to support our understanding, right, of the angels' activity. So spiritual conflict is more serious and more dire because it involves eternal realities and eternal consequences. It concerns existence itself. The heavenly hosts are fighting to protect creation, and more importantly, to defend the immortal souls of men and women. Okay, so think about how even the mere reflection of the sun on a witheringly hot summer day can start a fire, right? Have you ever seen that? I mean, in Canada, we've had some record-breaking temperatures of heat this last summer. And year before, I think it was through British Columbia, it was Britain or... Lytton. I'm sorry, British Columbia, and it was Lytton. The whole place was destroyed from fire. In a spiritual way, the angels reflect the radiant glory of the Blessed Trinity. They vanquish evil by their adherence to God and His will. They conquer by truly being what He created them to be. Their presence causes the evil spirits to recoil, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. John chapter 3. And the holy angels are burning with the light of God. So today we're going to start, but we may not finish, and that's okay. The role of the archangels. Right? They have fought this fight in ways that have been especially visible to humanity. So, of course, we start off with Saint Michael. Saint Michael appears in both the Old and New Testament. His name in Hebrew is Michael, which means who is like God. He has been the leader of the heavenly hosts ever since the testing of the angels, in which he was indignant at Satan's defiance and rose up to make his own choice to serve the Lord and to defend his holy name and all that he had made. So in the midst of the upheaval of the orders of angels among those who had chosen against God and his will, another shout arose from an angel who was placed in one of the lower ranks, an archangel, who cried out with an intensity of love that overcomes all personal pride. God is all perfect. God is all good. Who is equal to him in wisdom or power? Who is like unto God? And these words by Father John Horgan is a question formed in perfect truth. They identify and name the angel who spoke them. Michael, who becomes the leader of the heavenly hosts in the first clash of wills between God's angels and those who had become his adversaries. Saint Gabriel himself spoke of Michael as Michael, your prince, and one of the chief princes to the prophet Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, and also verse 21. For Michael had supported Gabriel in his spiritual battle against various pagan kings. It's believed that Saint Michael was the personal guardian of Jesus Christ while he was on earth, accomplishing the mission of his father. The church has ever had a deep devotion to this archangel, excuse me, who is her faithful defender and the archenemy of Satan. Sanctuaries have been built in his honor since the first century, and many saints have had a deep devotion to him. Saint Faustina Kowalska said, "I have a great reverence for Saint Michael, the archangel. He had no example to follow in doing the will of God, and yet he fulfilled God's will faithfully." Saint Thomas Aquinas said, "Michael is the breath of the Redeemer's Spirit, who will, at the end of the world, combat and destroy Antichrist, as he did Lucifer in the beginning." So, I'm just checking my time. We have about 3 minutes. According to Christian tradition, Saint Michael performs 4 offices. He fights against Satan. He rescues the souls of the faithful from the power of the enemy, especially at the hour of death. He is the champion of God's people and the patron of the church. He attends the dying and brings their souls to the judgment. It is good to pray for his aid on behalf of the church and through the beloved Saint Michael prayer, right? Let's do it together. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. All right. Next one is Saint Gabriel. Well, Saint Gabriel also appears in both the Old and New Testaments, and his name in Hebrew is Gabriel, and it means the strength of God. And he first appears in sacred scripture to visit the prophet Daniel. And Daniel records the experience vividly. In what does Daniel in chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, he says, "I was left alone to see this great vision. No strength remained in me. I turned the color of death and was powerless. When I heard the sound of Gabriel's voice, I fell face forward, unconscious. But then a hand touched me, raising me to my hands and knees. 'Daniel, beloved,' he said to me, 'understand the words which I am speaking to you. Stand up, for my mission now is to you.'" It was Gabriel's privilege to act as God's herald, announcing the coming of the Messiah and asking Our Lady if she would consent to be the mother of God's Son. It is also believed that he was the angel who appeared to Saint Joseph and who performed the many deeds on behalf of the Holy Family. The mystic Venerable Mary of Agreda described Gabriel as he appeared to the Blessed Mother. The appearance of the great prince and legate was that of a handsome youth of rarest beauty. His face emitted resplendent rays of light. His bearing was grave and majestic. His whole presence displayed a pleasing, kindly gravity and more of God-like qualities than all the other angels until then seen in visible form by Our Lady. And with that, my friends, thank you for joining me today. I look forward to being with you next time as we continue on the angels who battled. Okay? So God bless. Thank you. And I hope you are enjoying these broadcasts for the new year. God bless. Bye for now. I've got no